Up here, that if you saw a picture of Jefferson or Lizzie or Sarah, do you know what the response was? What happened every time one of those pictures came? Oh, that's right. Okay, and why do we do that? Why do I think even some of the boys were saying, oh, usually it's the girls that say, oh, but I heard even the boys going, oh, why do we do that? Why? Because it's cute. All right. Now, I don't think I saw any pictures of me up there, but if I had pictures up there of me, I don't think I would hear you say, oh. I saw lots of you got bigger guys there, and I don't hear anybody saying "ah" about you. You've outgrown that stage. You've outgrown that part. The part that we're going to be looking tonight at is verses 11 and 12. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And those little ones, whether it be Phoebe or Lizzie or Sarah or any number of the little ones that we have here this week, when they put their, I was sitting beside Pastor Steve, and there were four children that all had their thumbs in their mouth one time, and I thought Pastor Steve was going to do it too, you know, and just they all said, but you know what? It was somewhat cute for those little ones to be doing that. But if Pastor Steve had done that, you know what I would have said? Gross. What's wrong with him? Okay? But Pastor Steve has put away that. That's a childish thing. That's an immature thing. And so what is a cute thing? What is a thing in a child? In an adult, it is not. And I'm afraid that many of you would say that I've trusted Jesus Christ. I'm trying to live for the Lord, but you haven't put away childish things. And the thing that God calls us to do here, and the title of our message is the maturity of love. And Paul gives in this passage two examples of the maturity of love. The first one that we've already read and talked just a little bit is about a child. He gives us the illustration of a child. And the second thing, by the way, we're on page 35. The second example that he gives us is that of a mirror. Now in the King James, it says that for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. A glass could be translated a mirror. And so he gives those two illustrations. And all along the way, we've been talking about love. And we now come to the maturity of love. There is a love that comes as a result of our faith. In fact, tomorrow night I'm going to be preaching again, and I'm going to be giving Dr. Blizzard's message. And he went through it and showed me and filled in all the blanks for me and said, now I want you to emphasize this and I want you to do that. And one of the things that he has there is that our love is a result of our faith. Without faith, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, it is impossible to have love. And so we're going to talk a little bit about faith tonight as well as love. You know, we want to look at that first example of a child. A child does not consider all the factors or issues of life clearly. A child does not consider all factors or issues of life clearly. You know, why is it that when you have a difficulty or a problem, you go and talk to your mom and dad? Did you know my birthday is coming up very quickly? I get the senior citizens discount at McDonald's. And you know what? If I have an issue or a problem, many times, you know who I'll call? I'll call my father. And I'll say, Dad, what do you think about this? And even though I am a senior citizen now, in some sense, myself, I still don't see all the factors, all the issues clearly. And certainly, if you are a teenager here tonight, and for sure, if you're under 10 years old, you do not see all the factors or issues of life clearly. And so it's good to ask somebody. Now, is it wrong for a little child to have their thumb in their mouth with their blankie? My granddaughter carries around this ugly looking creature that looks like it's been drugged through all kinds of dirt and mud and ugh. The other day, somebody came in and picked it up with two hands and put it on the back of the pew and said, "Molly, don't you touch that." But, folks, what is cute for a child is not cute for an adult. And the reason why is because they don't consider all the factors or issues of life clearly. Jim, would you show? This is the idea that many people have today. All right. I'm a child. I don't want to grow up. And the Apostle Paul here says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. There was a man that was driving in his car with his four-year-old son. Anybody have a four-year-old son here today? Steve, is one of your children four?
Almost.
Okay, so he's almost four. So we're going to pretend that it's Pastor Steve. And he's driving down the road with Micah. And he looks over to Micah, or back in the back seat to Micah, and say, "Micah, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And Micah says, "I don't want to grow up." And Pastor Steve says, "Micah, why don't you want to grow up?" He says, "Then I can't ride my tricycle. I want to drive my tricycle." Now, Pastor Steve's got this big, beautiful RAV4. And he likes his RAV4. Always has liked his RAV4. Now, which would you choose, a RAV4 or a tricycle? I think most people here would choose the RAV4. And I have a sneaking suspicion when Micah is 16 years old, he will choose the RAV4 too, rather than the tricycle. Why? Because when you're a man, you put away childish things. You put away and you see the factors and issues of life a little bit more clearly. Now, in your book, I've replaced Micah and Pastor Steve with Byron and his father, and you can do that as well. There are some things that just kids enjoy. You know, my children, when they were growing up, enjoyed the mermaid, the Little Mermaid. And they enjoyed, I have to admit, I enjoyed Ratatouille. I enjoyed that one. But the rest of them, you know, I could care less about, and I'm not interested in. And I would like to think that it's because I've become a man and I've put away childish things. You know, the feelings and thoughts of a child can be true and right. What Micah feels, what Phoebe feels, any of the little ones here feel can be right and true. There's nothing wrong with what they think, but they're not necessarily irrational or false, but they're just inadequate. They're inadequate. Children occupy themselves with temporary things. They occupy themselves with showy things. There's a parade that goes down the middle of Lakeland, Florida at Christmas time. And my grandchildren all like to go to that, and my children like to take them to that. I don't particularly like to take them to that. You know why? Because before the parade starts, there's these vendors that go around with sparkly flashlights and all kinds of trinkets that are worth about 50 cents, and they sell them for $10. And the kids get enamored by these sparkly things, these showy things, that as soon as they get home, you know what happens to them? They don't work anymore. But they're attracted to the showy things. They're attracted to the temporary things. They are occupied with the immediate things. They want it here and now. I don't know if this would be true with you or not, but sometimes who gets money for their birthday? Anybody here get money for their birthday? Now, it would be interesting. We will not do this, but it'd be interesting. Who's 6 years old here? Anybody 6 years? 1, 2, okay. 7 years old? 8 years old? Okay. It'd be interesting to find out what the 5, 6, and 7-year-olds would take and use their $10 for. Do we have any 16-year-olds here today? 1, 2, 17-year-olds? 3, 4, 5? Any 18-year-olds? Okay, 6. All right. It'd be interesting to find out if what the 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds would use the $10 for, and what the 5-year-olds would use the $10 for. Do you think there'd be a difference? I think so. And why would there be a difference? Because there's some maturity that has gone on. And so the Apostle Paul says, when we become a man, we put away the things that we occupy ourselves, the temporary things, the showy things, and the immediate things. Jesus commends a childlike faith. Jesus commends a childlike faith. That means he approves of a childlike faith. Let's just turn, to one passage tonight. I have a couple others down there, but let's turn to Matthew 21, 16. Matthew 21, 16. And they said, unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And so Jesus commends a childlike faith. But this evening, I want to look just for a moment at the difference between a childish faith and a childlike faith. And I would like you to ask you tonight to think if your faith, now you say, I thought we were talking about love. We are, but our love is based upon our faith. And I would say that our love can be a childish faith or a childlike faith, love as well. And so let's look first of all at a childish faith. What does a childish faith say? It says that good Christians don't have pain and disappointment. Now, folks, I was just listening to the radio just last week, and I heard them on the radio say Christians shouldn't have pain, shouldn't have disappointment, should have money, should have healing, should have all these things. But this type of faith, a childish faith, says that good Christians don't have pain and disappointment. Now, I don't know if you consider Dr. Blizzard a good Christian or not. Is he having some pain tonight? Yeah, he's having some pain. You don't have to look, but are any of you on the back row having any pain tonight? Okay. A childish faith says that God wants to make us happy. That's what a childish faith says. A childish faith says that God always answers prayer the way we want. A childish faith says that God answers prayer the way we want. A childish faith says that faith will help us to understand what God is doing. A childish understanding of faith will say that our faith will help us to understand what God is doing. I probably left out a word, will help us always understand. Is it true that our faith will help us understand what God is doing? Sometimes, but not always. And then a childish faith says good Christians are always strong. Well, that's a childish faith. That's a 3-year-old's faith. That's a 5-year-old's faith. And the Apostle Paul says that when we become a man, we put away childish things. We become mature. But a childlike faith, a more mature faith, says that God uses our pain and disappointment to make us better Christians. Now, some of you young ones may not have ever considered this before, but I can tell you from experience, when I have troubles and difficulty and pain and disappointments, you know what that does? That makes me look forward to heaven all that much more. You know, Mr. Beam last night was telling us that even the special events of our lives, the special memories of our lives, can't be compared to the glory and the joy and the experience of heaven. And if that is true, that should make, and since that is true, that should make us crave and desire heaven. But how much more with the difficulties and the disappointments of life, what does it do? You know, 4 years ago, this day, my mother died. I loved my mother very, very much. And I've got to tell you, And perhaps this is a part of the childish faith rather than the childlike faith, but heaven looked a whole lot brighter and a whole lot more desirable after she went there. You see, that was a very painful experience. That was a very difficult experience. But God uses those events, those difficult events, those painful events, those discouraging events, to make us better Christians, to cause us to long for God and for His heaven. Secondly, God wants to make us holy. You see, a childish faith says, God wants to make us happy. God wants to make us holy. That's His purpose. That's the maturity process that God wants to do in our lives. A childish faith says that God wants to answer all our prayers in a positive way, what we want. But a childlike faith understands and knows that God sometimes says no or wait. Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God for something and there seemed to be no answer? I have many a time. Yes, I know. But a childlike faith says, I know, Lord, you are saying wait or even no. Faith will help us to understand God's sovereignty even when we don't have a clue as to what's going on. A childlike faith says, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You know, I just found out this morning that I'm going to have another grandchild. And that's an exciting, and I love all of my grandchildren. But there's one in particular, if he sees me, he can be all the way back there. If he sees me, his face will light up, his arms will come out like this, and he will start motoring as fast as he can to get to me. And many times, when he gets to me, he'll just throw himself at me. And what do I do? Do I take a step back and let him flop on the ground? No, I don't do that. Why? He trusts me. And you know, folks, a childlike faith trusts our Heavenly Father that even through the trials and the difficulties of life, that He is there. Who? One of the pastors read, I think maybe Mr. Bob said, you know, that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. Our strength, a mature love, a mature faith, the strength is in admitting our weakness. In admitting our weakness. So what is the heart of the matter? The heart of the matter is that childish faith is self-centered and demanding. I want my way. That's childish. It expects God to shield us from all difficulties. It expects God to make life more comfortable. In contrast, a childlike faith, his focus is on God. It trusts him to use the difficulties of our life for our good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I want to stop for just a moment. I want to ask you, what kind of love do you have? What kind of faith do you have? Is it a childish one or is it a childlike one? The second example that the Apostle Paul gives us there in 1 Corinthians 13 is that of a mirror or a window. He says, therefore, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. In Corinth, where this book was written to the church there, it was well known for their mirrors. It was made out of polished brass. They would take a piece of brass and they would polish it and make it smooth and shiny. And so you could look into it and you could see yourself in it. And so the church at Corinth understood what Paul was saying when he said, now we look through a glass or through a mirror darkly. But he said, not only do we have a mirror, but we look through it darkly. You know, young people, the mirrors that we have are very good. But in Paul's day, even as good as they weren't like the mirrors that we have. And anytime you have darkness and looking in a mirror, it's a very murky and shadowy figure. You know, seeing someone in a mirror or in a picture, and I've got a couple illustrations here. Several years ago, I went on a cruise ship with all my brothers and sisters. It was for my mother and father's 50th wedding anniversary. And my wife did not want to go on that ship because she was afraid she'd get sick and she wouldn't have any place to get off. And so what I did is I took and I had a picture of her. And she said, now don't eat too much when you're on that cruise. And so I had a picture and I probably ate more than I should have. So I did a lot of walking and tried to keep back to burn off those calories. And I took a picture of her with me. And I looked at that picture. And I'd walk around and I'd say, oh, Debbie, I love you. And I'd walk around that picture with that picture. And, you know, when I got back home, I said, you know, Deb, I just love this picture so much. I don't need you around anymore. I got the picture. How many of you think I did that? Just one? You better go talk to Grandma. All right. Any of you ever seen the show 19 Kids and Counting? Okay, several of you have seen that show. There's one of the girls, and you can tell me who, but I don't care. It's not germane to the illustration. But one of the girls got into a courtship with a young man that was way far overseas. And she was able to video chat. And so you'd see they had pictures, and they'd get in front of the computer here, and he'd have a computer where he was thousands of miles away. And they would talk to each other on that video chat. They could see each other. They could hear each other. They could share with each other. And they had a wonderful time together. But the young man was coming home. And she was standing at the airport. And they had the security zone. And you weren't allowed to go over the line, or else all these alarms went off and the guards came out. And she saw the young man coming down the pathway off the air, like, and she ran past the barrier. And all these lights go flashing and warning, and she jumps back. You know, I don't really understand it. She could see that young man anytime she wanted to. She could talk to that young man anytime she wanted to. They could share pictures and what was going on. And it wasn't just a picture. I mean, it was live time. It was a video stream. And why do you think she was so excited when the boy came off the airplane? Well, I can tell you, even though video is good, even though telephone is good, even though letters is good, there's nothing like skin on. There's nothing like the real thing. And so this young lady was all excited, and the young man was real excited. And in verse 12 it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." Now we see through the computer screen. But then, face to face. And boys and girls, we have the opportunity to talk to God through prayer. We have the opportunity to hear from God through His Word. We have the opportunity to fellowship one with the other, with the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. But it says that we see through this glass, but darkly. It's literally in an enigma or a mystery or an obscurity or in a riddle. And so though there's reality there, it's not the same as face to face. It's not the same as in the flesh. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We go to the next book, the second letter to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God." Well, we have the question, what is the glass? What is the glass? The glory of God is the glass. The glory of the Lord, is the glass. In James chapter 1, verse 25, it talks us that the Word of God is the glass. And as we look at the glory of God, as we look at the glory of Christ, as we look at the glory of Jesus, and we understand and know, the more we look at Him, the more we study Him, I'm not talking about a picture, but the description that we have in the Word, it says we become like Jesus Christ. Is it a good thing to become like Jesus Christ? That's our goal, that's our purpose, that's our aim, that's what we strive for. That's what He says that in Romans chapter 8, that we might be conformed to the image of His dear Son. That's the purpose that He has for us. How does that compare to the example that we gave of the teleconferencing or of the picture that I had of my wife? Those things are good. Teleconferencing was good. The picture was good. But it's nothing like the reality. And looking at Christ through the Word of God is good. Listening and speaking to God and to Christ through prayer is good. But it's nothing like what is to come of seeing Him face to face. And when it talks about us being face to face, it's talking about us being with Him. And then back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it tells us in the last part there, "Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I've known." I only understand in part, I only know in part, but one day I'm going to know. But even, and this is an important point, even though I know even as I'm known, in heaven, the distance between him and us will still remain infinite. He'll still be God and we'll be still man. But the gap will ever be much closer when we are with him for all eternity. What Paul desires to impress upon us, and Mr. Mike brought out so clearly on the first night, is that the gifts that they prided themselves with. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about all the gifts that they had and the beauty of those gifts and the ability of those gifts. But what Paul wishes to impress upon the Corinthians is that the gifts which they prided themselves with was nothing compared to what awaits the people of God in heaven. And so as we come to our conclusion tonight, I want to emphasize three things. First of all, is we are to have a childlike faith and rather than a childish faith. And we gave you the marks of a childlike faith versus a childish faith. Secondly, our goal is love. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it tells us there that, and I'm having a hard time getting there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith unfeigned." The end or the purpose of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. Our goal is to love. Thirdly, our faith will be sight when we see Jesus and not until then. Well, how do we become mature in our faith so that we may become mature in our love? First, we focus on our Father rather than our fears. We focus on our Father rather than our fears. Secondly, we pursue love. It does not happen naturally. I just got through celebrating 35 years of marriage. 35 years of marriage. You would think that I wouldn't have to work at loving my wife anymore. You'd think I'd have it all down. You'd think it'd all be easy street. But love takes work. And we need to be pursuing love. I read something to the staff this morning. If we coast, if we happen to coast, we coast backwards. We don't coast to maturity. And then thirdly, and I want to just mention one other thing on we need to pursue love. I remember at our youth convention that Pastor Steve said something, and he said, you know, we need to instead of talking about praying, we need to pray. Instead of talking about worshiping, we need to worship. Instead of talking about witnessing, we need to witness. Instead of talking about love, we need to what? Love. And then thirdly, we need to realize we don't have all the answers. 1 Corinthians 13, that last part says, we see through a glass darkly. You know, sometimes we think we have all the answers, but we see through a glass darkly. We see in a mirror darkly. It's cloudy. And before we get to heaven, there are going to be things that we don't quite understand. A childish person, a childish faith, a childish love is one that thinks they know everything about everything all the time. A mature one says, there might be another piece of the puzzle here that I don't know about. And so, if we want to become mature in our faith, we need to focus on our Father, not our fears. We need to be pursuing love, and we need to realize that we don't have all the answer. But we know one that does, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, we will no longer be seen through a glass darkly. We'll be seen face to face. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now that you would bless your word to our hearts. Give us an understanding of your word. Lord, help us to pursue.